maybe one last akuda of the previous sugya. We'll see if we can finish that today, and maybe try to even begin the next sugya. So we left off, and we was talking a lot about the limud from Shor Hamuad, magic number three times. We spoke a little bit about the significance of that number, two, three, etc. But the bottom line is the Gemara is working with the assumption that it's three times. And then in passing, the Gemara makes a reference to Machlokes HaTanoim in the second parakh of the second book of Kama, in the Sugya Shor Hamuad. Machlokes may have reviewed about the following. What if you have a really, really crazy Shor that gores three times in the span of one day? Does that also become a Shor Hamuad? So that's not the description of the Torah. The Torah is very clear. But clearly the original illustration of Shor Hamuad is talking about that it gores on three consecutive days. So what would it then be if it gores all on the same day? So what would you say about that? I would say, well, that's not the Shor Hamuad. The Torah describes Shor Hamuad. That's not the case. Comes over Meir and says, one of the Midrash Shetan addresses perhaps. Comes over Meir and says, Rechet v'gichayis v'chayav, kirev v'gichayis v'lakal shigay. If the Torah says that it gores in spread out occasions, it gores today, then it's calm for a few hours, then it gores again tomorrow, then it goes to sleep for a few hours, then it comes the next day. So there are intervals, there are spans of time when the animals relax. So then I could have argued that that's not indicative of the terrible evil nature of the Shor. It's just, you know, it's having a bad day. Yeah, three bad days in a row. But if it gores, Mama, she goes crazy at 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning. Look, every 10 minutes, it's running around goring. There's a crazy Meshuggah to Shor. So that was Rabbi Meir's Svar, that
based upon how
you
describe that,
it
almost seems like the opposite. It seems more likely
someone will have one bad day or a couple of bad hours, even if they do multiple things, rather than over the course of multiple days. Once you get into multiple days, then when you have that confidence, it shows that it's really is its nature. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so yeah, we have to have an in-depth analysis of the intro psychology of Shvarm. I hear what you're saying. I can hear it as far as I care. Lemaisa, we don't even accept Rabbi Meir's view, and that may be part of the reason why. You may be right. But Rabbi Meir at least presented, for his vantage point, he thought this was a good kavachom. Rabbi Meir's inner workings in the lab with the world of Shvarim, he thought this was a good kavachom. Kirvi Yichayisav Lakal Shikei. And Rabbi Yehuda Taka disagreed. And again, you may be right. That may be the rationale behind Rabbi Yehuda's disagreement. It's possible. The Gemara doesn't say one way or the other. The Gemara has Rabbi Yehuda quoting Sukkim and other, as far as other reasons why he disagrees, but that may be part of it. Well, very nice. It's Machlokes HaTanoim and the Sechah Berachah B'Vakam. What does that have to do with us? It has everything to do with us. Because if the Makor for Chesed Gimel Shanim is going to be derived from Shor Hamuad, then the Chor, we have to plug in that Machlokes into Chesed Gimel Shanim. It's exactly what the Gemara does in the beginning of Rav Tzuka. The Gemara says that according to the worldview of Rabbi Meir, that the more close in time that the events occur, the greater the Chazaka is. So then if you have three Achilos, way before 3 years are over, much, much before 3 years are over, that should for sure qualify as the Chazaka. That's the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara has a lot of trouble. The Gemara goes down a whole path, almost an omit long. He's trying to put in three Achilles. What's about three Achilles? How do you have three different Achilles? The grain didn't grow three times. What do you mean? I ate one apple today and another apple an hour from now and the third apple. So the Gemara tries really, really hard to figure out what would the case even be to meet that model of Rabbi Meir. But the Gemara takes that with the utmost seriousness. That again, if you want to screw the Ol Chayusha, you want to take on the Sanhedrin, that's fine. But if you want to buy into the model of the Ol Chayusha that we're deriving from Shor Hamuad, and Rabbi Meir's version of Shor Hamuad is such that Kirev Yichayis V'Chayav, so then that should follow. Kirev Achila should also be a greater source of a Chesed Gimel Shanim. That's the whole approach of the Gemara at the bottom of Chesed Rebeis. Okay, good. So we have a Machlokes or a Meir Rabbi Yehuda about three Negichas on the same day. We have a potential impact on Chesed Gimel Shanim. Very nice. Most of us would probably think, what does that do in my life? You know what I mean? It's like Torah doesn't have to do with your life, but you know, come on, Rabbi, in a more practical, religion, down to earth. How does this speak to me? So this begins to speak to me through the eyes of a very famous comment of the Maharam of Rittenberg. The Maharam of Rittenberg, the Rebbe Muvok of the Rosh, and the Mordechai, the Smaim, and all the Gedalia, Rishon, and Ashkenazim, all found the tradition of Maser Abakti by Rutenberg. Rutenberg is a Gevald Kechidish. It's quoted by Halacha by the Torah, or at least quotes him, and then quotes others who disagree. The Torah quotes him by Rutenberg the following din. We know the Chazal instituted throughout the year a lot of different askaras that are supposed to be said in the Davin, in the Shemoneh Esrei. It's the basic Tzura of Shemoneh Esrei. The original Tekan was 18, and then the Yavna, the end of the 19th Bracha, we still call it Shemoneh Esrei for old time's sake. See how long it takes things to change in our lingo. It's been already Chasrei for the last 1800 years, but we still call it Shemoneh Esrei. It takes a while for things to, you know, to happen in our world. So Chazal instituted a whole bunch of different askaras, different events that trigger different askaras in Shemoneh Esrei. Say, for example, when Machshavah on Chanukah, so Chazal instituted the Gemara in Sechberg of Shabbos, you have to say Al Anisim in the Shemoneh Esrei. There's a big, big machlokes in the Rishonim and Lomdus. What's the nature of the saying Al Anisim in Shemoneh Esrei? Is that like a Din Chos Tefillah? It's like a askara Tefillah. So, Moshel, we have the basic Tzur Shemoneh Esrei, and then when different events occur during the course of the year, so we make mention of them in the Shemoneh Esrei itself. So let's say on Rosh Chodesh, Al Viyava, we make mention of what it is. At Tanis Tiva, we make mention of what it is. Tisha B'Av, we make mention of what it is. It's just the different askaras that Chazal superimposed in the Chos Tefillah, but they're basically Din Chos Tefillah. It's a Din of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. The Gemara says in Baruch Hashem B'chol Yom Teilo Ke'en B'chosef. That you're supposed to make mention when there's something special, you know, something unique in the calendar, you're supposed to incorporate that into the brachas, into the Shemoneh Esrei. So is Al Anisim also like that? Al Anisim is the Din Hilchos Tefillah? Is that the pshat? Or is the saying of Al Anisim is a different part? Al Anisim is part of the celebration of Chanukah. Because Kavim Yom Tov Bahal of Odol. The Gemara says in the Masechta Shabbos that they would convey them to be Kavim Yom Tov Bahal of Odol. What's mean Hal of Odol? What do those words mean Hal of Odol? Hal means Hal. So hopefully I haven't said Hal this morning. What does it mean Bahal Odol? So some Rishonim say Rashi is Lomar Al Hanisim. So what do you mean Kavim Yom Tovim Lomar Al Hanisim? If Chanukah is the same as Rosh Chodesh, same as Chol HaMoed, so Hilchos Tefillah dictates you have to say. So the answer is no. The Al Hanisim is a different part of the Gamre. Al Hanisim is not a din in Halah. So it's not a din in Tefillah. Al Hanisim is a din of Halah of Halda. So Chazal with the Sakeh, you say Halah after Shemoneh Esrei, and you say Halda, and each of the three Shemoneh Esrei. So it's a different kind of halacha than just Hilchos Tefillah proper. That's a big question in the Rishonim. But get back to the story. So there are many askaras that Chazal did institute in the Shemoneh Esrei. Some of them are dependent upon days on the Jewish calendar, and some of them are dependent upon physical realities in the world, in terms of different agricultural realities in the world. So of course the two famous ones, the Mashiv Baruch and the Saint Talamotar, so those were instituted by Chazal certain times of the year. When you say which and why, what, who, what, where, so those are the sugyas. Everyone's only the Fiyomi, so in the first 10 blot of Maseches Titus, the Gemara keeps on referencing that. Those two different Tekanos HaChavim of saying Mashiv Ruach and the same as Saint Talamotar, when you do, when you don't say them, etc. Until fairly recently, Saint Talamotar had very, very little question to it. You know, whenever December 4th, December 5th, leap year, not even, you figure out when you start saying Saint Talamotar, you say it until first day of Pesach. Sure, life is very, very simple. So there's one line in the Mishnah Berurah, in the Sibbet about Saint Talamotar, where the Mishnah Berurah says, and by the way, if by some crazy Meshuggah chance you happen to be a Ben Chutzlarts, who's in Eretz Yisrael, or if your Ben Eretz Yisrael happens to be a Chutzlarts, so I ain't the following Shuvah Zacharein and what to do. It's very, very unlike the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah spells out every single prat a million times over. Mishnah Berurah didn't save time in the words. He makes it very, very easy for you. And here, he doesn't even bother quoting what to do. He just says, if you're interested in the Shabbat, take a look. Why do you think he talked about it? No, it's all Aladas. Who in the world in Radinus? It's a better Tisrael. Well, Chutzlars is coming to, he's leaving December 4th, he's coming December 30th, he's leaving November 26th, he's coming, he's going, he doesn't know where he's coming and going. So, it was, as Mishnah Berurah just said, in case you happen to be one of those strange people, so if you can dig your hands on a safer, take a look and find out what the answer is. So, of course, that has become the Shiloh. It was the hot button Shiloh until, I mean, depending which hour of the Israeli government you can ask. At some point, when it did or didn't happen, we're not really sure, but I was there last night to be in the airport trying to get my in-laws onto a flight last night. I was there at the time when there was a conversation, I kid you not, if I wouldn't have been witness it to myself, I would not believe that it happened, where American Airlines said, we don't have authorization to take anybody onto this flight if you don't have an Israeli passport. And there's a Shiva guy standing there with the phone from the consulate saying, no, here's the Israeli consulate, talk to them. They'll tell you that you're authorized. Really? I mean, that was all done. You had more. In case you missed, you could check on the news. That's exactly what happened. That was the strangest thing. Okay, anyway, back to the story. So, so Chazal instituted a whole bunch of different takonas, Mashiv Ruach, Sei Talamot, except a whole bunch of different askaras that we say. So, some of these askaras are ma'akiv the Eved. If you missed Talam Nisim, that's not the end of the world. But if you missed the Mashiv Ruach, missed Talamot at the right time, that's going to be a big problem. You have to repeat the Shemot Esrei. So every once in a while, you have a guy who doesn't remember. You know, it's a couple of days after the 7th, a couple of days after Shemot Esrei, so he doesn't remember what he did or didn't. Did he say it or not? So the Rishami has a famous cloud. Rishami says that we can assume that if it's within 30 days and when you start to say something new, the odds are you probably didn't say it. And we're fairly comfortable to say you probably didn't say Mashiv Ruach, probably didn't say Mishnei Talam Mutar, and therefore you're required to go back. If it's already more than 30 days, the odds are you probably did. Again, it's not like rocket science, it's not like an absolute 100% Mashiv Ruach HaKadosh, but that's all right. The overwhelming majority is you probably said it already, and therefore you're okay, you say it, you're good to go. Within 30 days, the overwhelming majority is you probably didn't say it. Ad kan divrei Rishami. Very nice. Shulchan Aruch quotes it. Shulchan Aruch quotes it. Lalo, great. Fun to be Rishami. Chavos Rav Ruttenberg says, what do you see for this Rishami? You see for this Rishami that after a certain amount of days, a certain amount of times, you create almost like a chazoka. Like you created a pattern, you created a habit, and you've proven that you're most likely going to say Mashiv Ruach. It's already 30 days after the Shemitah Tzeis, you're most probably going to say it. Says Rav Ruttenberg, let's do a little kavachimis now. Madach, 30 days does the trick. What do you mean 30 days does the trick? It's 30 days times 3 is 3 tefillos a day, 90 tefillos. And you know, Rav Ruttenberg also knew you'd have a Musaf and Shabbos. All of a sudden, everybody decided, like, Gavalt, what happened to Musaf? So the Rav Ruttenberg also knew Musaf once in a while in Ruttenberg. So the Rav also knew about Musaf. All the posts can try to figure out what happened to the couple of Musafs here and there. Okay, Zolzo, forget about that for now. So comes the Mar Mitzvah and says, Madach 90 tefillos spread out over 30 days does the trick. What about if you have 90 tefillos in one shot? Okay, I'll daven 90 tefillos to davos right now. Well, Gavali, 90 times I'll say Mashiv Ruach at the right time. That's a good thing to do the day after Simchas Torah, as you're putting away your supper, Mashiv Ruach, you say 90 times, daven for say 90 times, and shine. So he says, why should we think that works? It's a fair shemesh in the Makama. That's the famous statement of Rav Ruttenberg. So then Rav Ruttenberg toned down a little bit what he said. You know, you tell a guy to daven Shemot Esrei 90 times, he says, no, come on, that's not going to fly. What do you have to daven Shemot Esrei for? What I said, Baruch Hashem Elokeinu, okay, Maseinu, okay, but what do you need that for? What do you need him for? What do you need Shemot Esrei for? All I need is that key phrase. Ata Gibor Yolam. I'm going to say Hashem's name every time. I won't start with that word. I'll start with the next word. B'chaye meisim ato rav lo shiyah mashiv ruach ha-mer yeshim. B'chaye meisim ato rav lo shiyah mashiv ruach ha-yeshim. Dizzy. B'chaye meisim ato rav lo shiyah mashiv ruach ha-yeshim. B'chaye meisim ato rav lo shiyah mashiv ruach ha-yeshim. Say that phrase 90 times. And that way, by mincha shmini atzeres, when you can't remember whether you said mashiv ruach, you're good to go. You're ready past the 30-day test. Now again, if 6 months later, you know for sure you didn't say it. The 90 times is not going to be a trick to help you if you know you didn't say it. But it will be enough to be machri in a case for Sufik. So that was the famous Pesach of Rav Ruttenberg. Richek amiresav mahani, kirv amiresav lakoshigay. And thus began the minhag of the fourth hakof in some shuls that comes along with this. Chayim eisimata rav lo shiya mashiv aruach amor nakeshim goshim. I don't know if you have to say 180 times to be Yitzibel. So that was the famous minhag of the Maamar. He had all the Hidu Dalk office, but some people do. Okay. So that's the Psach of the Maamar Ruttenberg. So we took Baba Kama, took Baba Basra, and brought it to life. Wait, hold on the phone. So comes the tour. And says that even Bishaita never agreed to remember the Rabbeinu Peretz disagreed. What the Eilik Balei Teis Rabbeinu Peretz disagreed. Why do Rabbeinu Peretz disagree? So it's very unclear why Rabbeinu Peretz disagreed. The Torah quotes Rabbeinu Peretz that the Maamar Ruttenberg is not right. He's not right for some kind of almost like a shtickle technical grounds. And we can't quite pinpoint why exactly is he not right. So the Bishaita quotes two options as to why those who want to disagree with the Maamar Ruttenberg may do so. So one is on a very, very technical, almost psychological grounds that you didn't really mimic Shemoneh Esrei properly. That's not the same as Davi Shemoneh Esrei. The only way to really create the chazocha is to start with Borich Ato Elakai. You have to mamish go through the Shemoneh Esrei till you get to that point. How do you do that? Come on, it's Hashem, Hashem, brachas matolos, feels the doves. Come on, it's not going to work. So be ikaron. The Baruch Rutenberg is right that richek mahani kiruv lakol shekin, but there's just no way to really do it because the test case is when you in the middle of Davish Shemoneh Esrei. So when you train for an exercise, you have to train to make it as much as possible to the marshal, hot off those. You try to send astronauts into space, right? So there's a lot of testing that has to be done. They have to, a lot of training, a lot of preparation has to be done. So they try to mimic space as much as possible. But it's not the same. You're here, it's there. It's not exactly the same. So they do everything they can. So they take away this, and they take away the oxygen, take away the atmosphere, take away that, take away the floating around and NASA somewhere in the middle of a room. They try whatever they can to make it as possible, but it's not the same thing. So that's what the Rebbeinu Peretz said. You didn't train yourself properly. Because at the end of the day, you're training for the grand show. The grand show is in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, not in the middle of singing HaKofetz of the Torah. So that's a pure technical grounds. Who's right if that's the Machlokes? I don't know. I got to make a poll of the Torah, the psychologists, and figure out. Is that a good training session? Not a good training. I have no idea what the answer to that question is. But then there's a second version as to why Rebbeinu Peretz didn't buy into this Rutenberg. It's fundamental. Says Rebbeinu Peretz, the goal of repeating something in Hilchos Shehamuah, which is the source of this discussion, and the repeating something in Hilchos Tefillah is an entirely different kind of a repetition mode. The goal is legamri different. What you're trying to accomplish is totally, completely different from one another. Says Rebbeinu Peretz, and basically he's putting these words into Rebbeinu Peretz, by Shur HaMuad, what we're trying to identify is, what is the tev of this animal? Is this a crazy animal, or is this basically a con animal? The starting point is an animal is born, we assume that Stam Shvarim Labachas Kasir Shiba Kaimi, and a normal animal is born, it's fairly calm. I mean, every once in a while, again, it has a bad day once in a while, but fundamentally it's calm. And therefore, I really don't have to watch my animal to make sure it doesn't gore. I have to watch my animal to make sure it doesn't eat, doesn't step on things, because those are normal occurrences. That's why it's muad la'olam. It's muad even the first time. You pay nezek shalom for shein v'regel, even the first time. But keren is something which is not really so normal. That's why the Torah gives me a break. I don't really have to pay nezek shalom on it, because it's unlikely it's going to happen. But wait a second, it's unlikely. That's a regular animal, unlikely. But what if this animal has done it once, twice, three times? That's megala to me that my assessment of the animal was not correct. That this animal here, it's in a clown. And this animal has proved to me what its teva is. That's the goal of the three times. So that's what Rebbe Meir says, that you could prove the teva of something even better. This animal, you can't even get one day in normally. It's another klugamrim sugar. If you have an animal that's, it's crazy a little bit on Monday morning, but it calms down Monday afternoon. Then it throws a temper tantrum on Tuesday, and then it calms down Tuesday afternoon. Then it goes b'shugan again, goes berserk again Wednesday, and then it calms down. Okay, so could you say about this animal that this is a crazy animal? You can say, it needs a little, needs a little help. Maybe it needs a little, relaxation a little bit, okay? Gotta calm it. People get very nervous. I gotta calm. I was listening yesterday. I was driving my father-in-law to the airport. So he had his ways on. So he had it was like a different. You get a different voice than ways. I don't even know. You can. So he had a ways. It's called ways for relaxation. You know that one? Let's give a follow. As long as you want to keep driving. The voice, first of all, it doesn't have that like high tone, like get out, just a cop ahead, get lost. You're about to hit a deer. It doesn't have like that tense sound to it. And I'm like this. in approximately 30 feet, you are going to take a right turn. Take a deep breath. Mamash, take a deep breath and get ready to make that turn. You're about to go over a cliff, so that's okay. We'll hold your hand as that happens. You're about to miss your flight, but that's fine. And then couldn't stop laughing. So here, you know, we'll hold the animal's hands a little bit. We'll calm it down. You know, everyone throws a little temper tantrum here and there. You know, it's okay. But, you know, after all, the animal does have some nice days. Like, the kids don't always throw temper tantrums. Sometimes they're good. So, you know, we can handle that. An animal, I just bought the animal. 8 o'clock in the morning, it goes and kills something. 9 o'clock, it kills another one. This guy is really nice. You know, like those people on the dog, when the dog comes to them, just pat it. It probably won't bite off your hand. Oh, I bit off the last three guys' hands. It's okay. Just pat it. It's really a very good, loving, peace-loving dog. So that's what Rabbeinu Peretz says, that when you're trying to be dad on the teva of the animal, it's like a good kava chayya. Rechit mikichayisim chaya kirichazal kol shikei. But Mashi Baruch, what are you trying to do? Let's identify the task at hand here. We're trying to define whether I'm a Mashi Baruch guy. My teva is to say Mashi Baruch. We're trying to show, have you learned certain patterns? Have you gotten yourself into a routine of something? So how do you establish a routine? You do it a few times. So that's what says Rabbi Peretz. What's the second? You want to establish a routine, it has to be established over time. You just, 1, 2, 3, I'm going to keep on doing the same thing, 1, 2, 3. No, you got to, we want to establish a good habit of coming to shiur. So the guy has to come to shiur Sunday, he's got to come to shiur Monday, he's got to come to shiur Tuesday, he comes every day. Then there's a fighting chance he's going to... Guy comes one day, he comes to morning shiur, then he comes to afternoon shiur. You got to spread out over time, he's got to develop a pattern, you know. Comes a bit of parrots, and the eyes of his face says that the goal of the number three is radically different. In the case of the shiur muad, the number three... it's almost a din l'sha'avar. It's a din to establish what was this tev of the shore from day one. That we misunderstood the shore. We did a bad assessment test. Psychologists who assessed the shore didn't do a good job. They put the shore into the calm team. No, he's really in the crazy team. But when it comes to saying Mashiv HaRuach, saying Saint Talamantar, we're not talking about the tev ha'adam. We're talking about have you have certain learned behaviors or not. There's a difference between by the shore. We're trying to figure out what is it in its innate characteristics. What is its essence of the shore itself? Here, we're trying to teach it things. Trying to teach my mouth things, like Pavlov's dogs. We're trying to train you. You should identify that when you hear the bell, you start to salivate. So too when you get up to daven, so you're gonna say Mashiv HaRuach. So those are trainings of Kalahaba, trainings of Kalahaba have to be done over time in order for it to build up, in order for it to seep in, to become your routine from here on in. So it's a different psychology, says Rabbeinu Peretz. One for the Sha'avar, it determined what the status of the shore was, who was the shore, and what is the Kalahaba. It's an interesting chinish, says the Beis Yosef, Kabbal Kechinish. What do these Marmarut bring home? Depending on what you think Rabbeinu Peretz held, Rav Ruthenberg disagreed. So if the Pshat Rabbeinu Peretz was, Rav Ruthenberg was really right, 100%, but Rabbeinu Peretz thought that the experiment of just repeating the phrase Ata Gibel Hashem is not a sufficient experiment, then I don't think there was that much of a Lom Nishim Achleikis. Rabbeinu Peretz thought that wasn't a good experiment, and Rav Ruthenberg thought it was a good experiment. Good, okay. Lom this. None. Zero. Okay, move on. So if the Machleikis was just it's a very, very technical, psychological question, does singing by a kofas Ata Gibor mimic Shmoneh Esrei? Okay, there's very little I can say. I can add to that point. But now that you're telling me, according to the second part in the Beis Yosef, that Rabbeinu Peretz is saying something fundamental. Rabbeinu Peretz is arguing on the Yisod and saying that Cheski Moshonim is to determine what the status of the shore. Who was the shore? How would the Ma'amar Ruthenberg respond to that? The Ma'amar Ruthenberg would understand that That's not what Shu'a Mu'ud is. You know what Shu'a Mu'ud is? It's also what? It's also the focus of Mikan Lahavah. That was the longest Yishayel in Shu'a Mu'ud. What are we trying to prove? But see, we have our facts. We run a test. The test is that the Shu'a gore three times. So we go to the laboratory, we notice the Shu'a gore three times. What conclusion do we draw now? So we have the facts of us, therefore what? So Rabbi Peretz said that the conclusion that we draw is, therefore this shore from day one was a Meshuggah. And once this is a Meshuggah shore, it's a crazy shore, you have to watch the shore better than you did. And if you don't, you're going to be sure, Chayav, also there's a shore, not a shore. So according to Rabbi Peretz, the Yiseida Dovah from Shu'a Mu'ud is a state of the Sha'avar. I don't care what the Shu'a was. We're not talking about the innate qualities, the psychology, the inner workings of the mechanism of the Shu'a's brain. We want to know, what can we expect in the future? What's going to happen tomorrow? I don't care what happened yesterday. What's going to happen tomorrow? So the Shu'a just did something time and time and time again that's showing if it happened three times, it's probably going to happen again. So even according to Rutenberg, Shu'a Mu'ud is also a statement of the future. The Afa Pichemer, as Rabbi Meir say? What's up, Rabbi Meir? Kavachemer. Rabbi Meir held, and again, forget the fact that we don't follow Rabbi Meir. That's a technical question we have to deal with in a minute. But according to the worldview of Rabbi Meir, that when you're trying to look to the future, and you can say this Kavachemer, Kirvni Gichaysav Chayav, Lakol Shikain, so too, Imrichik Amiraysav is a way to predict the future. Kirav Amirosa Makol Shikain should also predict the future even better. So the Chayyar, the Machlekes, the Peretz, and the Rebbe Rutenberg doesn't lie in Nuchas Tefila. In Nuchas Tefila, for sure, it's a question of predicting the future. It's a Machlekes, Nuchas Shu'a Mu'ud, is the goal of Shu'a Mu'ud a statement of the past? Is the goal of Shu'a Mu'ud some kind of indication as to what is going to happen in Mikan Lahaba? Because only if you understand Shu'a Mu'ud as being Mikan Lahaba does the comparison to Rebbe Rutenberg make any sense. Rabbi said, now you have to plug it into what? That machloikis, the Maharab and the Rabbi Peretz, what is the basic yisoy that you say this is Shu'a Mu'ud? What does that have to be applied to now? How does it fit into our sugya? How does this carry over to Chesed Gimel Shanim? So we had multiple approaches as to what Chesed Gimel Shanim was all about. What are we trying to learn now? What are we trying to derive the chalal from Shu'a Mu'ud? We have to talk a little bit. You guys, as hot as I am, I know. Yeah, pretty warm though. Maybe we just get a little a step across this here. I know the cross piece, it's just a half across piece. We need some pierces in this room. At least the Pesach.
Not too big.
At least the Pesach.
We just have
a tzuras on Pesach. See if that helps. That shows the help. So anyway, Sean doesn't sight over his door. I think we'll be okay. It's not gonna help. Forget, we'll take the heat over the noise. Maybe we need some fans. I don't want to sponsor fans for this year. Can you guys bookshelves with base of fans?
I didn't know the AC. They said they put it in. They said the AC was supposed to work.
Did they see it?
I don't need AC. I just need nothing. We're good.
I'll do it again.
Okay.
I can't
do it.
Yeah, okay.
So Rabbi said, what are we trying to accomplish in Asuya? Ches Kimo Shonim. Is Ches Kimo Shonim trying to figure out something of the past? Trying to look to the future? Very, very unclear. We had a lot of things thrown around in Ches Kimo Shonim. If it's Exerce Kosov, we didn't know what it was, so it's hard for us to say what's past or the future. Is Ches Kimo Shonim some of the changing of a mahus? It's changing of a yotzim reshusai. That sounds a little bit like a thing of the past also. Is it a proof that the guy was Michael, but the guy that machted, it's also a little bit more of a past. Very, very unclear how any of this would carry over to Chesed Gimel Shanim. Rabbi Say, so this is a running machlekes between Rabbi Peretz and Rabbi Rutenberg, two biurim in the Beis Yosef, what exactly the Gemara machlekes was. But getting back to, of course, the basic question, like the elephant in the room over here, as to what are we spending a half hour talking about this topic? And we're spending a lot of time talking about Kir Migi Chesev, L'Kol Shekein, that was Rabbi Meir. We don't pass Rabbi Meir, we pass Rabbi Yehuda. We pass in Lalochim, but we come like Rabbi Yehuda in this Shaila, that Richek Migi Chesev, you don't say Kavachoy Mikir Migi Chesev. The entire sugya over here was really Shalach Halach. The Gemara says, Leman Diyomar, Le Rabbi Meir Diyomar. Let's discuss the topic. But if you hold on like Rabbi Meir, so the whole thing doesn't get off the ground. So if I say, we're in a pickle here. We're stuck because we don't know why is Rabbi Rittenberg draining us with Rabbi Meir Shita. Why is Rabbi Peretz arguing on psychological level, or psychological and the inner workings of the mind of a crazy shore? The whole thing is not based in Lalocha. The whole thing is based on Shita. It's not accepted in Lalocha. So what is going on here? This is an age-old question. Famous kasha. They put it in the Mamre Kermes? No. They put it on the Drisha? I didn't put it on. I didn't put on all those. This is an extra gear. Oh, what? Okay, I don't know. Did I put the Drisha on? I don't remember. I just put the Torah on. Okay. So the Drisha is the Perush in the bottom of the Torah. The Perush and the Drisha, written by the same person. The Sma. Everyone wrote the Sma. So the Drisha already asked this question. He says, the Chal doesn't say what the Rishonim are drains a Hakap about the Shilas. It's against the Psach Halach. What are they? What about Echpatli? Where Rabbi Meir held. So comes the Drisha and says, no. So you've got to go back to that Gemara and Bava Kamma as to why was Rabbi Meir rejected altogether? And the people come behind what's wrong? Anyone bother looking at that Gemara? Why did Rabbi Yehuda reject Rabbi Meir? I don't remember the Mokhla, why?
You're a puzzle
about what? I didn't put that part in my arm. No?
Zavarias,
yeah. Talakot Zavarias. The Gemara comments that if you really want to understand this Kavachomer, you want to pass the Shal of Vashi Veruach, you got no Kol Torkul, you got no Seder Taurus also. So you got to know Pesukim in the end of Pashas Bitzora about a Zav and a Zava. Well, Zav and a Zava, who was the Zav and a Zava? So a Zav is a man who has some kind of an emission. It's from the same area of the body as Shechva Zera, but it's not really, it's biologically a little bit of a different kind of an emission. But it makes the man into a Zav. What's the status? When do you become a Zav? So it's a whole series of different halachas, all based on Pesukim, Toshma Pez, Sinais, etc. That there are three dargas of Ziva. The first time it happens, it's metameh, but only to the degree of Balkari, which is a very, very low level in terms of the hierarchy of tumus. If it happens twice, then you become a zav, and a lot of chumras of tumus, mishkav, meishav, a lot you have to wait, count shibidikiyav, a lot of different things happen to you. And if it happens a third time, then you become the worst of the worst, and you have to even bring a korban, a special korban zivas that the Torah describes at the end of Pashas Bitzora. So when it comes to men, there's one, two, and three. So, Little guy, a Shechva Zera kind of a person, nothing really. Second is a Zav, but without the Korban. Third time is a Korban. When it comes to a woman, so there are similar halachas, but not identical. So a woman here also, she has something coming out of that area in her body, but it's Dam. It's same Dam, same biological Dam as Dam Nidus. So what makes it Zivas versus Nidus? One thing, depending when it happens, when in a cycle does it happen? That's what the Gemara is, the famous sugi of the Ebbe Sechel Nida, Yud Alef Yom Shem Benidu L'Nida, according to some Tanarim, it's Allah Hamashim Sinai, according to others, it's in the Pesukim itself. But the bottom line is that, let's say, a woman gets a period, so for the first 7 days, she's considered to be a Nida. After the main Nidus are over, then she enters into that period of time that are called Yud Alef Yom Shem Benidu L'Nida. If she experiences Dam in those Yud Alef Yom, then she could potentially enter into the parish of being a Zava, which is going to be a little bit different than being a Nida. So, what has to happen in those Yud Alef Yom? So the Torah describes as follows. Yishaki sazuv zav dama yamim rabim. So Yom Mishtai, Rab Mishlosha. There are three Re'iyas that the Torah is talking about. So basically what the Toshim HaPeh explained, based on those Pesukim is, comes out as follows. If she has a Re'iyas Dam one time in the middle of those Yud Alef Yom, she becomes Asura, she becomes Temeya. Whenever she becomes Temeya, she becomes Asura L'Baila. She becomes Temeya for one day. Let's say she had a Re'iyas Dam on Tuesday, so Wednesday she's has to be what's called Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom. She has to check herself on Wednesday. If she stopped bleeding on Wednesday, she goes to the mikvah and she's muteres. If it happens again, then the same thing happens. She has to check herself the next day. One day she becomes tamea, she goes to the mikvah, she becomes tahara. If it happens 3 days in a row, during those Yud Aleph Yom, then she becomes a Zava Gedola, and then all of Hilchas Zava Gedola apply to her. She becomes a high level of Tumah, requires Shiva Nikiyam, has to bring a Korban, the whole nine yards. So it's similar to Zav in the sense of that 3 is a magic number, but there are nuances of differences between the two. Now this is nothing to do with Nida per se. Everything we've been just talking about talks about when she's seeing Dav in the, not at the, at the days of Nida, during the Yud Aleph Yom for Nida L'Nida, which usually she doesn't see it. If she sees Dav during the other times of the cycle, that she becomes just a regular Nida, and Nida just counts 7 days and finish. And not Shiva Nikiyam and a Torah, different story altogether. Bizman Hazeh, some of you may be wondering, what does that do with anything Bizman Hazeh? So the answer is, the Gemara says, the Emesech is Nida, that already in the days of Yudah Nosi, the days of the Tanoim, and then later in the Amorim, they ever realize that this is getting very, very confusing. That a woman's not going to know, is she a Nida, is she a Zav, is she have to count 7 days, not have to count 7 days, 7 days, one day, here, the Kiyam, not here. So confusing. So therefore, finally, the halacha was nikma as follows, that any and every time a woman has her ears dam, once that dam is considered to be dam tamei, then she automatically takes the worst of all worlds. The highest, the most chumra of all worlds is becoming what's called the Zava Gedola, and she has to wait 7 full days, Shev Shivin Akiyim, etc., before she goes to the mikvah. So Hilchas Nida Bizman Hazeh was made much easier. I mean, it was made harder because you have to wait a few extra days, but it was made it's easier. You don't have to figure out what's Cheshbonus anymore. So by the days of the Tanoim already, people were losing track of where they're coming and going. These are only Yisuri Karis, so they're pretty serious Shilas. So therefore, to make life easy for everybody, but the Gemara says, just count 7 days. Everyone's a Zav Gedol, no matter what. Whether 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, these days, those days, the other day, everyone's a Zav Gedol and call it a day. No pun intended, okay? Yeah, she has to count Shiva Nikiyam and then she goes to the mikvah.
Which is a rule of Nida, not of
Zav. No. Zav can go, has to wait the Shiva Nikiyam and then she goes to the mikvah. Zav can't, what?
Can't she go on the seventh day?
Oh, you mean in the morning? But at Torah she can go in the morning. So yeah, that's a special tchassachom for a different reason why she can't go in the morning. Yes, it's a totally different reason. As Bana said, you're right. But at Torah you go on the seventh day. Okay. So bottom line is, the Gemara quotes from Psukim in Parshas Metzorah that for a woman to become a zava, it has to be 3 days consecutively. So the Gemara raises the question, what would the din be if she has 3 riyas on the same day? So Sunday morning she wakes up and she has riyas dam, then Tuesday, 2 o'clock, she has another one, but now before she has a 3rd riyas dam. So the Gemara says, Rechek riyoseha, in effect, Tameya, Kirev riyoseha, lokol shigen, Kavachayme, she should become Tameya Kavachayme, she should become labeled as a Yazov. That was the Gemara's suggestion of a Kavachamas. The Gemara throws it out the window. It's not true. The Psukim that contradict that. That the bottom line is that in order to become a Zava, you have to have 3 consecutive days, no games, 3 times in 1 day doesn't do the trick. It's not happening. For a Zav, for a man, maybe on the same day that's going to do it. For a woman, no. Doesn't happen. Finish. Come on. So comes Rabbi Yehuda and responded back to Rabbi Meir, you see that your Kavachamas is Nish Kavachamas. You see that your Kavachamas is wrong. If your Kavachamah is right, that whenever the Torah formulates something in terms of X amount of times, we can up the ante and make it earlier and just make it go quicker. It's not true. You see from the Chazal, but that's partially not true. That was Rabbi Yehuda's rejection of Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir had this Gevalga Kavachamah by Shomuah, and Rabbi Yehuda says, if your Kavachamah is right, then Chazal techiach. That was the kasha that Rabbi Yehuda asked against Rabbi Meir. So it comes about a Drisha. Has the following. He says, what's the pshat in that rejection of Rabbi Meir? Why does Rabbi Yehuda think that Rabbi Meir is wrong? So Drish explains, in the world of psychology, he doesn't say that, I'm saying that. Rabbi Meir is right. The Kavachamah really makes a lot of sense. But psychology stops here. Torah trumps psychology. In order to be a Sharmuad, it's not just that we made a psychological evaluation of the Shoah Muad. The Torah says, "Vimshor nagachu mitmol shil shayim." Tmol means a day, and Nitmol means 2 days, and Shoshim means 3 days. The Torah speaks about days. And when it comes to the Chazav, the Torah says, V'ishak, he says, Yamim Rabim. The Torah speaks about days. When the Torah speaks about days, the halach is formulated in terms of days. You can zog all the psychology of the day at B.S. Goyal. You can get your PhDs and your PsyDs all rolled into one. And it's going to help him. It's not going to help. The Torah says days. Days is days. Days is days. Days is days. Atkan. That was your beautiful response to Rameh. Rameh, you're right. Psychologically, you're right. The veterinarian psychologists agree to you're right. But Azoy Shteit, the Hilkei Torah, it's Bol Shilshon. And I'll prove to you from Hilchos Zava that when the Torah speaks about days, days means days. It doesn't mean times. It means days. Look up in the Lachapedia. Day means a day. It doesn't mean a time. It doesn't mean a car. It means a day. Says the Drisha. But Lulei that Gdeiros HaKosa from Zava, Lulei, the special fact that the Torah speaks about days, is psychology right? Is Rameh's Kavachama fundamentally right? Yeah. Therefore, suggest the Drisha's follows. If a Shiloh would arise, that's not a function of exercise cost of Yomim. It's just a psychological Shiloh. It's a Mada without Torah. If that's all it would be, then Rabbi Meir would be 100% correct. You would follow this Kavachamah to the T. The only reason Rabbi Yehuda rejected it is because of this quirk, because of this problem of Yomim. Yomim means Yomim, no more, no less. Enter into a world of halacha where there is no parsha for yamim, there's no exist kasa for yamim. If there's no exist kasa for yamim, so then what? Rameh is right. Give me an example of a scenario where there's nothing of yamim, it's just psychology. Mashiva ruach. It's halacha mashiva, you have to say 30 days? What are the days? Days is just a way of measuring times. How many times did you say Mashiv and Ruach? So if you said it 90 times, I said it. Kiv b'gichayisam v'kol shekein. That's the Drisha's Kabbalah break. That's why if you look at the Rishayim, Mam Ruttenberg had no qualms deriving from Shomot. Rabbi Peretz rejected him on pure technical grounds, either Beis Yosef 1 or Beis Yosef 2. But nobody rejected it on the more fundamental grounds that, hey, wait a second, it's against the Psach Halacha. The answer is, it's not against the Psach Halacha. The Psach Halacha was only Nifsah because there's a function of Yomim, the Gzeres HaKosav of Zavus.
How can we make a Din Klali that 90 times? Like, people have different psychologies. Some people might need less, some people might need more. How do we, like, make it
into again, more? Again, this is not rocket science to say that every single person, it could be that some people may say it 1,000 times and still forget. Some people will remember it for 2 times. But Chazal Mishal, if you're right, most people, they felt this was a safe enough formula to give the average person. You can write this in the bottom of the Art Scroll Siddur. He said 90 times, you know, you're good. So the Gemalot Gavar for the Drisha, very good. Shtak Gavar for the Drisha, depends all the Rishon.
Yeah, but the Drisha is assuming that there is Sfar means for sense for the short, but for the short case, you could easily say he gored 3 times in 1 day, he had a bad day.
No,
he only had 1 day,
again,
and the rest of the time he's
just but you're questioning the original Rami Meir's Kavachomer, so we're back to what Sammy was an hour ago, right? So, but we're about ourselves to Rami Meir's Kavachomer. No, everyone's got it? Gavala Gavar from Drisha, right? Everyone's ready? Start the next thing? Yeah, don't start yet so fast. No, who's got a cash for me? No, who's got a cash for me? It's against that Gemara. How's it against that Gemara? Akiva says you need 3 achilas, you need 3 years of 3 achilas, right? And then the Gemara says, Ula Rabbi Meir the Yomar, according to that one lone Tana we don't pass like Rabbi Meir, who says, the Kavachomer, let's get 3 achilas in quicker, I get the ball rolling quicker. And the Gemara pupils about that for a moment. What's clear as day from the Gemara's question? Ula Rabbi Meir the Yomar. That we're not asked according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ula Rabbi Meir the Yomar, 3 times more. Ula Rabbi Meir the Yomar. Implying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, this would be a silly cash, it would be a waste, wasting the next Amud of the Gemara. But Basim, not long enough, not another 175 lot to go. So the whole next 20 lines of the Gemara are wasted according to Rabbi Yehuda, they're not true. Rabbi Meir the Yomar. If the Drish is right, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbi Meir, it's just that he had issues with Rabbi Meir when there's a pasuk But the Torah says yamim, I can't budge. Where does it say yamim? When ches is gemoshav? Yamim. That's right, yamim. Wait, hold on. L'chora was simply trying to derive from Shramuad about multiple occurrences. It's the so not yamim, the ches gemoshav is not yamim, it's ches gemoshonim. So we jump from Yamim to Shanim, which just shows that this is a farce. This is not a din of Yamim, this is a din of occurrences. This is just a din of creating patterns. So we're borrowing the model of Shoramuad, but this has nothing to do with Yamim. This folks, there's no psukim here. This is Baba Basra. Remember, there's no psukim of Baba Basra. So once you tell me that we're not in the realm of darshan psukim about Yamim, and still the Gemara relates this to the Machlokes Rebbe Meir Rebbe Yehuda, because the Gemara still asks the question, Ula Rebbe Meir Yamim, implying that Le Rebbe Yehuda, so this Gemara, that one, it's two words, Ula Rebbe Meir Yomar, three words of the Gemara, undermine the entire Drishas Pshat. This doesn't bode well for the Maamar of the Bnei Parents, because we were stuck. Why did they drain us a cup with the wrong Shita? So the Drisha was the only one who explained this, but he's against the Bereshit Gemara. Nobody realized this? When I quote the Drisha Parents? Nobody, you guys didn't realize we're learning from Basra now. I think we're learning from the same Talmud Torah now. We're learning from Basra now. So we know he has his kasha. The Drish himself has his kasha himself. He says, wait a second, this is a nice typical term of a Kabbalah, but once you open up Chesabat, you see that my Pshat is wrong. So he has two possibilities to defend his typical Torah, which he thinks is necessary to defend, or else the Rebbeinu Peretz and Maharam seem to be completely shalei kalocha. It says in Bala Drisha, one is in a pure technical, textual approach. When the Gemara asked the Rebbe Meir of the Amar, the Gemara did not mean absolutely 1,000% lafuke Rebbe Yehuda. What the Gemara meant to say is, according to Rebbe Meir, we for sure have a kasha. According to Rebbe Yehuda, do we have a kasha? Maybe, depending on why you think Rebbe Yehuda disagreed with Rebbe Meir. Now, we are very smart. We know, we the Baal of Rabbi Rutenberg, the Rebbeinu Peretz, the Drisha, we all know that the only reason why Rebbe Yehuda disagreed was because of the psukim issue. That's how we touched up the sugya Masechet Bava Kama, the psukim issue. So if it's the psukim issue, so then we really could have asked the question, Bein the Rebbe Meir, Bein the Rebbe Yehuda, we could have. On the other hand, we don't know that for sure. From the world of Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Yehuda, you're not really sure that it could be that Rebbe Yehuda disagreed legamre, even on Rebbe Meir's psychological score, it's possible. I don't know that the Drisha and the Maamar Rutenberg and the Rebbeinu Peretz are right. So therefore, when the Amoraim were shepherding the Chesed of the days, they wanted to be a little bit more exact. They didn't want to say, hey, wait a second, because someone's going to say, oh, what about a question of Yehuda? So they phrased the question. They were very, very, very careful how they phrased the question. The Rebbe Meir, it's zichra question. Let's get Chesed Gimushon in there with them before 3 years are up. According to Rebbe Yehuda, maybe or maybe no. It's a very, very textual kind of a question. So the words of the Rebbe Meir, but don't kill us, according to the first answer of the Drisha. Ayid Yishlema says the Drisha, along the answer, says no. And what Sam was suggesting, that Chesed Gimushanim is also Yomim. Shteit Yomim! V'shteit Yomim? Really Shteit Yomim. The Yalfusa from the Hochayusha is a Yalfusa from Shomuad. We're mamish comparing it exactly to Shomuad. It's a function of Yomim. I'm going to say two words. It's Exeris HaKosim of Yomim. As Exeris HaKosim of Yomim, it should also be negated by the Exeris HaKosim of Zama, which is exactly why the Gemara asked the question, Ula Rebbe Meir Adam, Rebbe Meir doesn't buy that negation, that Exeris HaKosim of Zama. He doesn't think that Zama issue impacts here. So according to Rebbe Meir, the same Rebbe Meir ignored the Exeris HaKosim of Zama by Sharmuad, he ignores the Mechesed Gimushanim, so that's what the Gemara asked, Opazoi, according to Rebbe Meir, let's get the ball rolling. Shoramuad is also Exeris HaKosim. Is that true? Does that make any sense to us? But now the Drish is telling us on a level of the Araisa. If you think of the world like Rabbi Yehuda, that whenever the Torah speaks about Yamim, Yamim means a certain Tzuruf and Yamim derived from Zava, and you can't make any new Kavachemers here. That limitation of Yamim Aksuvim Batayrek, Yazov Chazazim Moshanim, that's probably a throwback as to just how serious this drasha was. If you think, like Tosfos on the beginning of the sugya, this is a serious cost of the Alma, this doesn't make any sense, this is Kach Nemar Halacha. Kach Nemar Halacha, okay, Kach Nemar Halacha. So Zov is going to refute it. But if you're going to tell me that, come on, this is not a Hilchasim L'Taima, this is a way of assessing whether the person was Moichel, not Moichel, was he Shaisik, not Shaisik, is he be Shaisik. These are psychological assessments. So these are psychological assessments that we're just, all we're learning from Chesed Moshanim, all we're learning from Shamuad, is that you need multiple things to happen a few times in order to create that pattern. But this is not just a cause of Yamin. So then, with Chesed Moshanim should be much closer to what? To Mashiach Baruch than it is to Shamuad. And if it's closer to Mashiach Baruch model than it is to the Shamuad model, so why does the Gemara say only the Rabbi Meir? I'm sorry, only Rabbi Meir. When the Gemara says the Rabbi Meir, the Amar, not like this Rishis first pshat, that didn't really mean anything. It does, of course it means, of course Chazal meant what they said. Well, the Rabbi Meir, the Amar, that implies that Rabbi Meir would have to deal with the following question. Rabbi Yehuda would not have to deal with the following question. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda would have to deal with it is because Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Kavachom is pushed wrong. The Kavachom is wrong not just when they're psukim. The Kavachom is wrong when they're svaras also. If the Kavachom is wrong when they're svaras also in psychology, so then how in the world can you bring the Kavachom to life in Mashiach Baruch? So that last kneich of the Drisha, ultimately the question is Chesed Moshanim some kind of a quirk of there's a concept that's bound by the rules? It's like the Pasha Penzav, like the Pasha Shamuad, it's that kind of halacha? And therefore the Kavachom just doesn't apply? Or it's come on, that's what Chesed Moshanim is. Chesed Moshanim is just psychology, psychological assessments, what the guy's behavior is. Was he Shaisik, not Shaisik, is he Michael, not Michael? So then, how is that impacted by the... But the Zava Kalvacha, but the Zava Pircha, unless you understand the Zava Pircha is across the board in all cases, and therefore the Zava Pircha should undermine the Mashiach Baruch also. So when all the dust settles, everybody say, we have this Machlokes by Rutenberg and Rebbeinu Peretz, a Shiloh that really impacts on day to day life, people, Mashiach Baruch say, tell them what their issues, is as its roots in Shor HaMuad. It impacts clearly on Chesed Tzibur Shonim. A lot of things are flying around there that we still haven't known, have 100% clarity on. But of course, this is all within the world of who? Everything we're talking about for the last 3 days is all within the world of who? Tolchei Husha. If you don't openly accept Tolchei Husha, so then you still have to pass the Mashiach Baruch Shalos, but this is not going to be the place to look. So believe it or not, the Gemara does have some Tanoim who bind to Tolchei Husha. The Gemara even finally puts a name on Tolchei Husha, that was Rabbi Yishmael. One of the Heligat Tanoim, as appears in Mishnah Chesabatim, was from the Tolchei Husha. But the Gemara says that many, many other Tanaim, perhaps the Roba Tanaim, didn't even buy into this model of Gamre. So I don't want to disappoint anybody, depress anybody, but we've learned a lot about Shabu, and I hope everyone enjoyed. But according to many of the Tanaim, it's a good sugi for Baba Kama, it's not a Baba Vasa sugi. Because the real Emesa sugi of Chesed Moshanim lies in the different sugi of Gamre, not in the deeper resources of Shabuad. And that becomes the multi-million dollar question. Where does the real truth, according to the other Tanoim of Chesed Moshanim line, and that begins the next sugya. So hopefully we'll get a little start into the next sugya.
How do we pass the Mashiach Baruch?